As we prepare to hear God's word, let's go to Him in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with His strength and power this day. Let's pray. Lord, in the world, we're surrounded by so many voices that call for our attention, but You alone have the words of life. So this day, fill each of us with the power of Your Holy Spirit, that we might hear Your word for us this day. We ask this in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So two portions of Scripture that I want to read on this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. The first is Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to pick it up from verse 4 through verse 8. So hear now God's word. Grace to you, and peace from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the tribes on earth will wail on account of Him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And then from John's Gospel, and I'm going to read this in a version called The Message. A familiar portion between Jesus and Pilate. Pilate went back into the place and called for Jesus. He said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you this about me?" And Pilate said, "Do I look like a Jew? Your people and your high priest turned you over to me. What did you do?" "My kingdom," said Jesus, "doesn't consist of what you see around you. If it did, my followers would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But I'm not that kind of king. Not the world's kind of king." Then Pilate said, "So are you a king or not?" Jesus answered, "You tell me. Because I'm king, I was born and entered the world so that I could witness to the truth. Everyone who cares for truth, who has any feeling for the truth, recognizes my voice." Pilate said, "What is truth?" And he went back out to the Jews and told them, "I find nothing wrong in this man." This is the word of the Lord. So on this Christ the King Sunday, I think the gospel reading from John and the text from Revelation meet together and inform us about what it means to declare that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Gospel of John has that familiar encounter between Pilate and Jesus just prior to the crucifixion. As I read that encounter, I have a feeling that having a discussion or a conversation with Jesus was probably not always the easiest thing to do. I mean, Pilate comes with a list of questions, and what does Jesus do? He asks questions of Pilate in return. And Pilate, I gotta believe, was shaking his head by the end of the discussion. "Are you the King of the Jews?" he asked. That was the charge that most concerned Pilate. He doesn't ask Jesus, are you the Son of God, as the Jews claimed that you declare to be. Pilate wasn't too worried about that. What Pilate was worried about is, are you the king of the Jews? Because you see, he served the other king of the Jews. That's who he was representing. He had a king that was in place by the powers of Rome, and he didn't want someone else coming and claiming to be king. Pilate tells Jesus, your own people have delivered you over to die. So what have you done to deserve that kind of treatment? But I want you to hear the answer of Christ. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. I suggest to you that we often forget that. In 2018, Mark will tell us that Jesus went about telling the good news of the kingdom of God. This was the gospel that Jesus preached. This was the gospel that the disciples were to take out into their world. This is the gospel that you and I are to give ourselves to, the good news of the kingdom of God. That gospel has been entrusted into our hands. But we have forgotten that Christ is king. And when we forget that Christ is king, we begin to cower in fear at the headlines that bombard us day after day. And when we forget that Christ is king, we begin to believe everything that we hear that is of a tragic nature and a dark nature, because you and I forget that there is still someone seated on the throne. God the Father, in his right hand is Jesus Christ. And when you and I begin to walk in fear, we become paralyzed by that fear. I've told you before about my high school experience as the world's shyest kid. But it was in my sophomore year, I think. It was, that would put it somewhere around 1970. I don't know what you were doing during that time, but I was in Mrs. Torbett's typing class. That dates me. Yeah, you guys probably did too, right? Took typing class on a real typewriter, right? Not these word processor things. And so when you took I distinctly remember, now, between 9th and 10th grade, I grew 9 inches, and I had this huge growing, so I was clumsy as all get out. I played football in 9th grade. I was a little scrawny kid, but they had me playing center because I was the only guy on the team that could long hike back to the punter when we needed to do that. So I would hike the ball and eat grass. That's all I knew about the game of football. Because I was 5 foot tall, 95 pounds, and he had me playing center. I grew so much, I go back out in my sophomore year, and the coach says, son, what's your name? I said, coach, I'm your center. He looked at me. He said, son, you can play a little defense this year. I'm going, thanks be to God. Mrs. Torbett's typing class, clumsy. We had to take a timed typing test. You remember those? You had a minute. A minute or 5 mistakes, whichever came first, and then you were done. Whack, it was over. Did I tell you I'd had a growth spurt? First timed typing test. I am paralyzed by fear. I get 7 words. Before I hit 5 mistakes. So in 7 words, I had 5 mistakes. Nothing else I did after that counted. I didn't do any better the rest of that 1 minute, but I got my 7 words in, and I quickly realized I needed to do something and fast. And I wasn't going to change my clumsiness, so I dropped typing class. I wanted out of typing so bad. Did I tell you I was shy? I went out of typing class so bad I took speech. How do you think that went? It was not pretty. And I sat in the back of speech class, paralyzed with fear that somehow he was going to call on me. Now you'd have thought I would have been smart enough that when it came time to give a speech, I would volunteer first and get it over with, right? Oh, no. No, no, no. I let everybody else volunteer, and I sat back there with my head down. Lord, maybe he won't remember I haven't given mine. And so sure enough, last of all, Johnson, don't you have a speech for us? And I'm paralyzed with fear. And I make my way up. I'm probably sweating a lot more in my memory than I actually was in reality, but that's how bad I wanted out of typing class. It was not pretty. You and I have choices. We choose to walk in faith, or we choose to be captive to fear. There are so many things around us that make us wonder whether it's worth the effort to live the Christian life. We open the headlines and we continue to see the things that are going around us, and we wonder if the church has been effective at all in the 2,000 plus years of its history. Has anybody heard the message that we proclaim? Has anybody around us heard the good news of the kingdom? Because judging by what we see, we would come to the conclusion the answer to that is no. What's the use of trying to do good? What are the signs of the kingdom of God? Now, there have been many periods in history when Christians were sure that the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom and its fullness was just around the corner in our own country. In the periods of 1880 to 1920, that was one such period. We thought the kingdom of God is near. I want you to listen to what John D. Rockefeller Jr. wrote in the Saturday Evening Post in February of 1918. I see the church molding the thought of the world as it has never been done before, leading us in all great movements of history as it should. I see it literally establishing the kingdom of God on earth. I suggest to you that now, as Bob Dylan wrote, we don't talk so proud. We're not so sure about victory over goodness anymore. We're not so sure that we are truly living into the kingdom of God and the goodness of that kingdom in our present day reality. The disciples in Jesus' day, early in his ministry, asked a lot of the same questions that you and I ask. Why aren't more people at the service? If by their fruits you shall know them, how come goodness seems to be having so few fruits? And those stories help shape our understanding of the kingdom of God. I suggest that there are many misunderstandings about the idea of the kingdom in our day and time. text in Revelation and the text in John both convey to us that there was a sense that Christ could honestly say while he was on earth and walked among us, the kingdom of God was at hand. It was there. They could see the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus. They could see in Jesus what it meant that that God Almighty was the ruler of the life of Jesus Christ. I believe there's a sense in which we can say the kingdom of God is here now. Hear me. The kingdom of God is here now as we live out what it means for God to be in charge of each of our lives. The kingdom was. The kingdom is. And yes, the fullness of the kingdom is yet to come. A day in which sin will be no more. A day in which the fullness of the glory of God is going to shine as never before. A day when we're going to drink anew the cup with Christ in the fullness of the kingdom. A day when everything will be set right. That's the good news of the kingdom, my friend. It's that kingdom that I want to talk about. It's that kingdom that we're to be about as the people of God, as the church of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not like any other kingdom the world has ever seen." If it were like all the rest of the kingdoms, he said, "My disciples would take up arms and would not deliver me over." One of the disciples tried that, didn't they? You remember Peter. Peter, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter the fisherman takes out a sword and he's going to get Malchus. He's going to do Malchus in, and he swings that sword in defense of Jesus. And what does he get? Gets an ear. Now, do you think for a moment Peter was aiming at his ear? Not a chance. By the way, Peter was a fisherman. He was not a soldier. But he's going to defend Jesus because he has forgotten that the kingdom of Jesus wasn't like the rest of the kingdoms on the face of the earth. And Jesus quickly corrects him. The kingdom of God that Jesus lived was not a kingdom about power. It was not a kingdom about armies. It was not a kingdom about anything like that. It was instead an invasion of kindness and compassion. The kingdom of God with its peace and its healing and its sanity and empowerment and its freedom is available to all here and now. It's not just about pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. The good news of the kingdom is this. You can know peace in your life today. You can know joy in your life this day. You can know what it means to be a child of the living God this day as you bow to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The good news of the kingdom. Pilate offered to the people a choice. You want Jesus or Barabbas? And when offered the choice of Jesus, what did they cry out? Crucify him. Crucify him. We will not have this man. What's the rest of that? Rule over us. What would this place look like if Jesus Christ were in charge of each of our lives? That's the question. That's the good news of the kingdom that we're to proclaim. That's the gospel that we're to take to every corner of the world. That's the gospel that we're supposed to live out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, not just when we gather in here, declaring to the world around us there is a king and his kingdom is unlike anything you've ever imagined. bow to King Jesus and know the peace, the joy, the love, the grace, the mercy that are found in Him. Good news? Fantastically amazing great news. And that's been entrusted into your hands and mine. What would this place look like if Jesus were in charge? What would my life look like if Jesus were in charge? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. May God be pleased to work that out in each of our lives as we bow to King Jesus. Amen and amen.